Excited about an upcoming series that I'll be preaching this August. Today I'm not here. Brother Jim will be preaching a great message from the book of James. So I encourage you to listen in, and then next week come back as we carry on with the momentum of the ministries of our church. And we're going to be focusing on how we can become more focused as a ministry-driven church. So I'll be preaching on this series through the month of August and into September, and also doing some Sunday night in-depth looks on how do you actually become a ministry-driven church. So I invite you to set in on that as well. God bless you. I'm glad you're part of the church family here. God has some great things happening at Mountain Grove First Baptist. Jump in and join us.
Hi, everybody. My name's Norman, and I just want to talk to you a little bit about Royal Ambassadors. We're getting ready to start them back up August 23rd, and we're going to be doing some camping. Like you see, we're going to be setting up tents, showing you how to do that. We're going to be doing some Dutch oven cooking, fire building. If you've never cooked in a plow disc, we got one right here. We can cook enough food in that thing for 17 people or more. Might even show you how to throw some tomahawks, do a little fishing, just different skills like knot tying. Have you ever used a compass? We're going to show you how to use a compass and find your way through the woods and just neat adventures like that, and exploring different places also. We're going to go to Elephant Rock, Johnson Shut-In, go down to Table Rock, see the trout farm down there. Go to Springfield Nature Center, let you walk around there. They got wonderful hiking trails up there. Life is about adventure and exploring and seeing God's creation and seeing what all He's done for us. And guys, this is for boys first through sixth grade. Dads and grandpas, if you want to get involved on this, you're more welcome also. And you know, with exploring, the most important thing we're going to have exploring is our Bible. We're going to get into it, and we're going to learn about men and women who have served the Lord. And we're going to see how their life can reflect on our life so we can better serve the kingdom of God. And guys, again, that's August 23rd. I hope you show up. We're going to have a lot of fun this year. Thank you.
Good morning. We're glad that you're here to worship this morning. Let's stand together and sing Happy Day. The greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. Last meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day, my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Oh, what a glorious day, what a glorious way that you have changed me. And oh, what a glorious day, what a glorious day. And oh, happy day, happy day, you wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day, I'll never be the same. same. How many of you are not quite awake yet? Would you raise your hand? Well, you heard me enough that you can raise your hand, so I guess you are awake. I know what you mean, though, what I mean. Okay, why don't you shake hands with somebody around you and say, I'm glad to see you in church, and wake up. Become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out. Seated. Let's sing together this morning, Hail to the King. bright morning star, King of all days, reign in our hearts and ride on our praise. You are crowned in majesty. Awaken us now, set us ablaze. Let your kingdom come, let your name be raised. Hear the song of the redeemed. Be exalted as we sing. Hail to the King, hail to the living Word. Let praise arise, heaven and earth. Sing praise to the Lamb, seated on the throne, power and strength are yours alone. Hail to the King, hail to the King. Bright morning star, King of all days, reign in our hearts and ride on our praise. You are crowned in majesty. Awaken us now, set us ablaze. Let your kingdom come, let your name be raised. Hear the song of the redeemed. Be exalted as we sing. Hail to the King, hail to the living Word. Let praise arise, heaven and earth. Sing praise to the Lamb, seated on the throne. Power and strength are yours alone. Hail to the King, hail to the King. Hear the song of the redeemed. Be exalted as we sing. Hail to the King, hail to the living Word. Let praise arise, heaven and earth. Sing praise to the Lamb, seated on the throne. Power and strength yours alone. Hail to the King, hail to the King, hail to the King.
The rain that we've got this week, much needed. You know, we think little simple things, but we needed it. So thank you, Lord, for that. But the second thing I want to lift up this morning that's on my heart is Mr. Sammy Sparks. He got news last week that he has colon cancer. And this morning he came in to me and he said, Jim, they're going to have to take my whole colon. And that's on my heart this morning. So Sammy, I'm going to ask you to come up here if you would for just a minute. And I'm going to ask some of you guys, church family, come up here and we're going to pray over Sammy. This is a rough time. This can be a very difficult time. And I think right now as a family, we've been through July, a time where the family stepped up and we're helping people. I think this is a good time to come up and let's circle around Sammy and Eunice and let's just lift them up this morning. Would that be okay with you guys? So come up if you feel led. Heavenly Father, what an awesome and wonderful, majestic God you are. Lord, we all can come before you right now. We can all think of times when
they seem to be tough, and we're like, how am I going to get through these? Lord, I pray for Sammy and Eunice during this time, Lord, to get this news, to try to figure out what's going to happen, listen to the doctors, and trying to figure out really what's going to go on. And Lord, I just lift them up to you right now. Help them not to worry, as hard as that is. Help them to focus on you. Help them to understand that you are in control no matter what happens. And the really neat thing about this is that there's people that have gone through just the exact same thing as Sammy has, and there's hope. The doctors have the knowledge to take care of this. They have nurses to aid the doctors in whatever needs to be done. And Lord, I just lift up those people to you. Whoever's going to be involved in this whole thing, Lord, that you will be glorified no matter what. Lord, I lift up Eunice to you. What a tough time to see your husband go through something like this, Lord. And she said earlier, we weren't expecting it out of Sammy. But Lord, you can take care of it. I thank you for this family and what they mean to our church. They're here. They serve. Thank you for allowing us to be able to serve them. Lord, just take hold of this situation. Lord, I pray that our church will gather around this couple and this family. Lord, as they go through this time, that way we will just do whatever it takes to meet the needs of the Sparks family. We thank you for this time. Thank you for the love that's shown right here this morning. Lord, I just pray that your Spirit will fill this room in this building this morning. Lord, help us to leave things aside. Help us to open our hearts and open our minds to figure out what you want for us this morning. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are the Word at the beginning, a one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, and now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful best it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Veil tore before you. You silenced the bolts of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. Now and forever, Lord, you reign. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Good morning. How are we today? Whoa, we're asleep still. Good morning. How are we today? There we go. We're here. All right. So this morning, I'm going to be reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. It's the new Lifeway version, okay? So it's similar to Holman Christian, but if it sounds a little funny, that is why. It's really not funny. It is a true translation. It's just brand new. So I like it, and I'm going to use it this morning. So the title of my message this morning is Go Big or Go Home. And those of you that know me, I'm kind of that way. Let's do it right or don't do it at all. And I want to bring something up that some people were here yesterday in the kitchen cooking apple pies. Man, I love this. This is so good. I'd never heard of this before. But you know what those apple pies are going to go for? They're going to go to families that had never been to our church from VBS. So I'm going to challenge you guys to go back and get a pie as you leave and take that pie to the house that's listed on the top of it. And here's the cool thing about it. I had a person come to my office one time for a need. And they said, thank you so much. Your church has done so much for us. I thank you for that. And she goes, you know what else? And I said, what? She said, last year, your church brought us a homemade apple pie from VBS. This simple thing as a pie makes a big difference in somebody's life. So I'm going to challenge you, if that's kind of out of your comfort zone, go get one. Take it by the house, drop it off, and say, hey, this is from First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove. We're so glad you and your family came to VBS with us this year. That's one of those go big. One of those go big things, and we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to be in James chapter 5. We're going to read verses 7 through 11, and these are verses that we all know. We've heard many, many times, but we're going to do a little twist on it here this morning. I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lord has from that. So, James chapter 5, starting in verse 7, says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for who you are. Lord, I just ask that you show up this morning. Lord, I ask that you'll just be with the words that come out of my mouth. Lord, I just ask that we will have open hearts to hear what you want for us this morning. Help us to be patient on your coming. We know you're coming. We can't wait for that day. Help us not to be idle. Help us to understand that there's work to be done and continue to do. Bless this time this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, three things this morning that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about we need to be humble before the Lord, we need to be diligent in His Word, and we need to be strong in the Lord. Those are the three things this morning. So in this scripture, we see obviously that the Lord's coming back. He is. We know that. He is coming back. Are you ready for that? I am. I'm ready for that. Now, I'm not saying I'm ready to go tonight. Okay, I got some stuff that I'd like to do, and I know that's selfish, but I want to see my kids grow up. I want to see them drive. I want to see them get married. I want to see my grandkids. There's some things I want to see. I'm not looking forward to that, like, right now, by the way. By the way, if you have any ideas for me or helpful thoughts for me, Sadie's starting preschool next week. So I would like some feedback on how you other dads took care of that, because I'm not taking that too well right now. So come talk to me after about that. So there's lots of things that I would like to see before Christ comes back. Lots of things. But here's the question that we're going to talk about this morning is, what are we doing in the meantime while we're waiting? While we're waiting, what are we doing? So I think that's where my title comes in, either go big or go home. Are we going to go big? Waiting for the Lord to come back and get us? Or are we just going to idle by and not do much at all? You know, we as Christians ought to take Christ's return so seriously. So seriously as we ought to be doing, no matter what, anything we possibly can to add somebody to the kingdom every day. And you know what? I'm guilty too. We get idle. We get comfortable. We know Jesus is coming back. We know he's going to come get us. We're going to look for him in the air. We're going to see him. And we forget about the times that we had here on earth that we could have helped somebody. We could have met a need. And you know what that need could have done? It could have added that person right along next to you going up in the air, in the sky, to meet Jesus one day. Are we going big? You know, I think there's a few types of people in our world today. The first one is a person that doesn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. I pray for those people. We should be praying for those people. The second person is a person that has made a decision to follow Christ, but maybe they're not all the way in. They've made a decision that I know I need Jesus. I'm going to come to church whenever I feel like I need to. I may give a little bit to the church. Feed my sheep is a wonderful thing. I'm going to give a little bit here and there. But they're just not all in. They're not all in. And then the next one is the person that says, hey, I'm a believer. I truly believe that. I go to church. I tithe. I help out when the church needs me. I volunteer. I teach a Sunday school class. But we're not totally, totally humbling ourselves before the Lord yet. I'm a Baptist. I've got the name Baptist. I'm covered. No matter what I do, I'm covered. No, not that person. And then the last one is this one. This is the one I want to talk about today. This is the one I want to challenge you to be today. This is the person that is going to do whatever it takes to go all out for the sake of the call. Pastor Fred, on his emails, when I get an email from him, at the very end of it, it says, for the sake of the call, Pastor Fred. And I like that because that tells me no matter what's going on, no matter what life has got for us, for the sake of Jesus Christ, I'm going to do it. Are we there? How many of us are there this morning? I hope that we are. You know, obviously I'm going to challenge you to be that last one. That's the challenge that we hear a lot. But there's some of us sitting in here this morning that aren't there. This one preached to me this week, folks. This has been a struggle for me because I've been studying this and I'm thinking, okay, Jim, you got to work up this area. You know, you're not quite there yet. So this is my challenge to you this morning. Let's, as a church, be a church that says, for the sake of the call, we're going to do whatever it takes to get people here and take somebody with us. How do we do that? First off, we have to make an effort. If we don't make an effort to do that, we're not going to do it. You think Michael Jordan became one of the best basketball players of all time without an effort? No, absolutely not. He worked extremely hard. He got cut from the team at North Carolina. And then he worked so stinking hard that he got back and look who he became in the NBA. Christianity is no different. We got to work. We got to make an effort. We got to make a conscious change in our heart to be in this word, to be seeking out God's will, for that to happen, for us to be the person God wants us to be. We've got to work hard at it. Let me tell you a quick story on me. When I went to Crowder my freshman year, you guys know that was one of the worst years of my life. It was miserable. So once I got to Crowder, I realized, whoa, Jim, you're not big man on the totem pole anymore. You know, when you're in high school and you're playing sports or you're in the band and you're the best in your high school, and you go to college and you realize, oh, hey, I'm not who I thought I was anymore. So I get to Crowder and they do all kinds of stuff. They mess with my swing and all kinds of footwork and all this stuff, and I am lost, completely lost. I'm struggling. I am ready to be done, completely. I don't want to mess with it. We're practicing 6 hours. There's lots of running that I'm not a runner. Some of you know that. I don't want to run, and I had to. Okay? So I'm thinking, goodness gracious, Jim, you have made the biggest mistake of your life. And I got to thinking about that for a minute. I got to reading the word and trying to figure out what's going on, because Jim, he didn't pray about this decision to go to Crowder. He just had his best friend go. We wanted to go together, room, play baseball. School wasn't even in the process. We just had to do it to play baseball, okay? So Jim realized, oh man, I messed up. So then I start getting into the word because I realized, oh, God wasn't a part of this decision. So I start doing that, and then one day our catching coach came up to me, and good guy, I love the guy to death. Coach Ritter was his name. I'll never forget him. He was an older gentleman, couldn't hardly walk. I'm like, how are you still alive here, you know? And he came up to me, and he said, you know what, Jim, I heard you can catch. Coach, maybe a couple innings in high school, I don't, you know, but I'll do it. Let's do it. Come on. He said, all right, show up tomorrow, practice, come down there with us. Okay, no catching equipment, no catcher's mitt, but let's go do it. And I'm telling you what, that was the best change I'd ever made in my life. Because I got to a point where me and that coach had a relationship that I didn't have with another coach on the team. And you know what? God blessed me through that. I'm not very big, okay, as you can see. I'm just an average guy. I don't throw the ball hard or anything, never could do that. But you know what God did? He allowed me to catch the whole second half of my freshman year. And I lost my starting job at third base. I wasn't in the lineup, so all I was doing was sitting on the bench watching these guys play ball. And that's not what Jim went to school for, to play. I came to play. But God showed me something. He showed me, you know what, Jim? You're not as big and as bad as what you think you are. And I had to make a conscious effort to say, okay, if I still want to play, I got to do something different. I got to do something different. And God blessed me through that. Went on to CFO and caught and had a good career, had a lot of fun doing it. And you know, I got to thinking about that, and Christianity is no different. It is no different whatsoever. We have to make a conscious effort to make a change in our lives. We can come up here, and you guys know as well as I do, us Baptists are the worst sometimes. You've got to get out of our pew, walk up, take 15 steps, come up here, talk to the preacher to be saved. We don't have to do that. We can do that anywhere we want. And you know, when we make a conscious effort to say, okay, Lord, take care of me. I'm getting out of the way, and I'm going to let you work. Folks, we did that in July at this church. We did that in July at First Baptist Church of Mountain Grove. I looked at the calendar in June and I went, oh my goodness, this is crazy. But you know what? God placed those things when he placed those for a specific reason. We're going to be handing out apple pies this week to people that may have never had a homemade apple pie. We never know who that's going to touch in delivering that. Having a one-on-one conversation at a front door of somebody's house here in Mountain Grove and say, thank you for bringing your kids. Thank you. We're going to be handing out postcards to every address that we have from Garments of Praise. And guess who's going to be doing that? Not this guy. We're going to be doing it as a church. We're going to split up and we're going to take a few cards, postcards per class, and we're going to write our address on there. We're going to say, thank you for coming. We're praying for you. Little things like that. We have to make a conscious effort to get out of our box and expand. Are we willing to do that this morning? Are we willing to do that this morning? God opens doors that we never see sometimes. Never see. Garments of Praise. Feed My Sheep has been wonderful to watch to see how that's going. And this is something I want you to pray for about Feed My Sheep too. We're getting big enough in Feed My Sheep that we need some people to help. We need some bus drivers. We need some people to hand out stuff. And I'm going to go a step farther. We need another building. And you're saying, oh my gosh, Jim, where are you going with this? We need a building or a place that we can meet. That way we can have people come to us as well. And that way we can minister them one-on-one just like we did at Garments of Praise. And you're saying, Jim, that's huge. Yeah, it's huge. I've seen it happen. In Branson, Missouri, I grew up at Skyline Baptist Church. Kent knows what I'm talking about. We were too small for the building out on the lake. And we found the Lowe's Sister Theater right there by Fall Creek Road. $2 million. There's no way we could afford it. You crunch the numbers, you can't do it. But you know what? This is a true story. Hobby Lobby bought that $2 million building for the church. Gave us the title and said, it's yours. You don't owe us a dime. Things can happen, folks. If we get out of the way and let God do some miraculous things and we make a change and say, God, this is you. You're in control. God can do it. God can do it, but we have to believe it. So in saying that, we as Christians need to make an effort to totally live a life that Christ has called us to do. And that's called go big. We as Christians need to be big. We need to go big. We're called to go. Let's go big and see what God can do in our lives. So how do we do this? How do we do this? The first thing, if you're taking notes, write this down. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to say, Lord, I can't do this without you, and I can't do this alone. I will get out of the way no matter the cost, and I will allow myself to be uncomfortable, because when I'm uncomfortable, you work through me. I got some counselors here this morning that I told on Sunday night last week that they were not very happy with me because I asked them to be a counselor, and they came back to me that day and said, thank you. Thank you. What if we came back to church every Sunday and said, thank you, Lord, for putting me in that situation because I'm taking somebody with me to heaven? Amen? Man, that's huge. If we allow God to work in us, and that's just step one. Look in James chapter 5. Look at 10 and 11 here real quick. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count it as blessed those who have endured. You have heard Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. You guys know the story of Job. He has servants come to him one after another. He's lost everything. He's sick in the end. He is miserable. I mean, could you imagine if you had employees or family or whoever come to you and say, everything you have is wiped off the face of the earth, and it's just you. Oh, yeah, and by the way, you're sicker than a dog, and you can't move. Where would most of us be? I'm a weenie when I be sick. Okay, so I'll admit this. I would not be in Job's mindset right here. If I get a headache, I'm down and out. Okay? So Jim's challenge this week was, how can I be like Job? How can I endure what God has for us? It's not easy being a Christian. It's not easy making that decision saying, I got to change. I got to change what's on my TV. I got to change how much I look at my phone or what's on my phone or the computer or what television shows or movies that we're renting or we're buying or whatever with our family. There's a lot to it. It's not just saying, all right, Lord, I am going to follow you and you're done. We got to act on it. We got to act on it. Job's endurance to finish the race. We need to humble ourselves. We need to get in the race. That's what God has called us to do. And I'm not a track guy. I said a minute ago, I don't like to run. Some of you like to run, and I thank the Lord for you because I can't, okay? And I'm not a track guy, but I do know this a little bit about track. You have to be mentally and physically fit to run a race, okay? Physically and mentally fit. My problem was the mental side of it. If I'm losing, I'm done. I just gave up. Like Fred said here a few weeks ago about his race that he had, and he gave up, that would have been me. No question. But guys, in the race for the kingdom, we can't give up. There's too many things that we can be doing waiting on the Lord. And then sometimes you track guys can get this. Sometimes when you're running a race, and I think about like the 400 or the 800, the ones that are just brutal, I think about when you finish the race and you look at the time clock and you go, whoa, how did I do that? And you're like, that didn't come from me. I didn't practice that. I didn't practice and get that time. That didn't come from me. Do we ever have times when we go, that didn't come from me, Lord. Thank you. I was in Walmart and something came about and I was mentally ready for that day and that situation. Even though I was uncomfortable, God did some amazing things. We were uncomfortable in here for Garments of Praise. We had parents, kids, grandparents running around in this sanctuary that Saturday. We had kids climbing on the pews. We had them running around. They were crawling everywhere. And you know what else we had in here? We had food and water. And it was messy when we got done. But you know what? It was awesome. You know what? It cleaned up. You wouldn't even know it. And the best part about it is every person that walked through this door heard about the name of Jesus Christ. Are we willing to do that, guys? Are we willing to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, no matter what, at all costs, I'm in and I'm willing to make a change. I'm willing to make a change. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says this, mankind has told you what is good, and what the Lord requires of you is to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. Old Testament. I love how the Old Testament points to the New Testament, how it points to Jesus. We can go over and over the situations where it points to Jesus, to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with our God. Church, I'm going to challenge you to that. Are we walking like that as a church? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing as a church? If we go back to James, he's saying, don't hold grudges. Don't be mad at each other. Don't talk about each other behind your back. Go to that person. Work it out. The reason why is because we're called to be different. As Christians, we're different. And people ought to notice that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. Love this story. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a child and had him stand among them. Truly, I tell you, he said, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, the one who is greatest in the this one is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes the one like this child in my name welcomes me. Whoa, we're getting into deep stuff here. We're about ourselves. Our society is so much about us. So much about what stuff can I have, and mine is what kind of gun or bow or boat or whatever, and Jim gets in the way sometimes. Jim needs to put that stuff away and worry about his relationship with Jesus Christ. Are we worried about who's going to make it to heaven first? Or are we worried about how many people we can get there? That's the question. And if we don't make that conscious change to humble ourselves before the Lord and get on our knees and say, Lord, how can I help this kingdom? We're never going to be that person. And this is what I'm going to challenge you to today too. This altar, if we need to humble ourselves, this is okay. Let's tear this carpet up with knees. There's a missionary that used to be in China. His name is Ing Kai. And this just blew my mind. He works partway with Lifeway, and his partner, he goes all across the world. He has an evangelism book and lots of different things out there. You can come talk to me later if you want to know more about it. But him and his wife, the sweetest lady, I'm a kind of a short guy, and this guy's about this tall, and he's Chinese. And I can't understand half of what he's saying, but it's all God-driven. So where I'm going with that is in their apartment in China, they had hardwood floors, real hardwood floors, okay? Upstairs, they had a little room. That was their prayer room. And there was 4 indentions in the hardwood floor. Have any idea what those may have been? They're from their knees. True story. He wouldn't tell you this, but the other missionary that was with him has seen it. He said there are truly 4 indentions at their altar in their house. One of my heroes. Humbling themselves before the Lord. How many of us are like that? How many of us are like that? In Matthew, it says we're to welcome people in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, here's this little guy. I'm welcoming him right now. And this is where the church comes in. How many people are we welcoming to come in those doors? I don't care if they have purple hair, pink fingernails, tattoos, earrings, whatever. How many people do we say, come on, I know something. I've got something that will absolutely change your life. And share it with them. We had people in here for Garments of Praise. We're ministering to people with Feed My Sheep and VBS. That folks, they may not have the same stuff we have. They may not have the same clothes we have. They may not like the same stuff that we do. But you know what? We ministered to them. We can continue to do that. Let's not just do that in July. Let's go August, September, October, November, December, and then we're at the end of the year. Let's start it over in January. Now, I'm not saying we have to have 15 different outreach events in 1 month, but I'm saying what we can do is we can pull positive things from those events and keep it going year around. We're reaching people, folks. There's a buzz around town that says First Baptist Church is doing some stuff. And it's not about them. And that's what we want. We want people, non-Christians, to say, man, there is something awesome going on within those buildings. And you know what? They're not just keeping in their buildings. They're going out. We're taking pies. We're giving postcards. We're delivering meals door to door. What an awesome thing. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, we get on our knees, folks, God can do some cool things. And I understand that you guys don't see some of all the cool things that happen because we're here on a daily basis, but I can count just about every day since Feed My Sheep or Garments of Praise, just some amazing things have happened. We've had salvations. We've had the gospel shared 94, 98 times. We've had people here prayed for that didn't really want to be here, and they went back and they had conversations with them. And you know what? There's been more conversations from you guys with people out there after all of these events. What a wonderful thing. And those of you that weren't here last Sunday night, what a sweet spirit it was. There was unity. There was love for each other. There was no selfish ambition in anybody that stood up. It was, Lord, thank you. And this is what you did in the life of our church in July. Why can't we be like that? It's so, so hard to keep that going. But we can do it if we will truly humble ourselves before the Lord. You know, here's the cool thing about that. When we have done what Jesus called us to do, we've humbled ourselves in the name of Jesus Christ, and nothing is greater than that. So the first thing is, are we humbled this morning? Are we humbled before the name of Jesus Christ? Are we humbled to come up here, bow down, and give him the praise? And I'm not just talking lip service. I'm talking a heart change. I'm talking, we're going to come up here and we are truly going to put self aside and give it to him this morning. Forget about what happened before you got here. We walked in these doors and it's all about the kingdom today. The second thing, if you're taking notes, we need to be diligent in his word. We need to be diligent. We talk about this a lot and we're saying, why are we talking about this again? Here's the reason. We hear it all the time, but you know what? A lot of people still miss this part of it. We need to be diligent. We need to be right here. We need to be right here on a daily basis. This Bible's brand new. It's not even broke in yet, but I can't wait to break it in. It's still crisp, still smells new. But that should be our challenge. If your Bible looks new, break it in. Kind of like a baseball glove. Or a golf club, or whatever you're breaking in. Instrument, there's a break-in process there, I think, maybe. Yeah, sure. Okay, there's a break-in process. It's so easy to break those things in because we put those higher up on the list in our lives than sometimes we do in our word. But this is the first challenge I want to do. Those of you that are diligent in this word right here, the Holy Word of God, this week I want to challenge you. I want you to go to 5 people and encourage them to be diligent. You may not know that they are or aren't diligent in the word, but go to them and say, hey, this book, be in it. You may be in it, you may not be in it. Read it. See what God can do in your life through this. And you know what? What happens if we have 15 people that says, I'm going to take that challenge? And I didn't do the math in my head because I'm not a math guy, but if we had 15 people say, hey, read your Bible this week, stay on top of it 7 days a week, and it just goes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Imagine what God can do in the life of this church. Imagine the pews being full. They're wanting to hear about who Jesus is and what he's done. So those of you that are diligent, encourage someone this week in that. What's the definition of diligent? Having or showing care or consciousness in one's work or duties. Do we show God? Do we show God that we care about being in his word? That one kind of hit me this week. If we're not in his word, we're telling God, I don't care. Now, we're going to miss days. That's going to happen. Things are coming. We're going to miss days. But you in your heart know if we're in it or if not. We know. Do we show God that we care by being in his word? Proverbs 13:4 says this, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Oh man, imagine if our homes were filled with the word of God. Imagine if our safe havens at our homes were filled with the Spirit. And then when we walked outside of our homes, people knew that your home was a safe haven for Jesus Christ. They knew that whatever came out of that house was love and grace. Are homes like that? And that's where it comes back, folks, to what's on TV. What are we showing our kids? What are we watching? What are we doing within the walls of our home? Because when they're in our homes, we're taking them with us. And we're those of us that go to church, we're taking the stuff within our homes to our church. We're going to be influenced by what we see and what we hear and what we watch. You know, let's look at work here for just a minute. You know, you're not going to show up to work and do nothing and get a paycheck. Once a week, every 2 weeks, or a month, right? If anybody finds that job, holler at me afterwards. I want that job. We're not going to do that. We work hard. We work diligent to get a paycheck. Why do we get a paycheck? We get a paycheck so we can take care of our family, so we can eat, so we can play, we can go on vacations. We can do whatever we need to do, help somebody out. But you know what happens when the boss is gone? You know, it reminds me of the Youngblood commercial. The boss is out of town. We've got specials. Hey, take it from a car salesman, used to be. There ain't no deals when the boss is out of town. It's the same price all the time, okay? When the boss is out of town, how are we working? Are we still diligent? Are we still doing everything that we possibly could do at work to earn that paycheck? Do we get a little lazy sometimes? You know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. But you know what? This is where I'm comparing it to. God never takes a break. He never takes a vacation. Never. He always knows what we're doing, when we're doing it, how we're doing it, what we're watching, what's coming out of our mouth, what's coming out of our houses, what's coming out of our church. What not? A stronger thing to be diligent because God never takes a vacation. Think about that for a minute. If God took a vacation, Where would we as a human race be? We're always asking for forgiveness, right? Because we screw up? What if God took a vacation? It wouldn't be there. If he took a vacation, where would our prayers go? If he took a vacation, what would we do when something catastrophic happens? I have no idea. I don't have the answer to that. But I do know this. I am glad that he never takes a vacation. Glad that he doesn't take a vacation. You know, something in our household, and I used the word safe haven just a minute ago. We want our house to be a safe haven for whatever comes. We can go to our house, we can talk about whatever we need to talk about. We can get mad at each other, and that be okay, and love each other at the end. Okay? You guys have kids, a lot of you have kids like I do, and sometimes you just want to put them in their room and lock the door. But you know what? Those kids and the people that come within your home, they ought to know that our homes are to be a safe haven. And that safe haven only comes because of Jesus Christ. You understand where I'm coming from this morning? Are we diligent? Are we diligent in His Word? Are we digging into His Word and saying, Lord, show me something today. Give me an opportunity to help someone today. That may be carrying groceries. That may be delivering a pie. That may be volunteering at church. But it also may be something a whole lot bigger than that. And that's leading someone to Jesus Christ. Take someone with you. Be diligent in the Word so you can take someone with you when Christ returns. Verse 7 says, therefore, in James chapter 5, therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. Some of you know that I like to garden. And last year, my garden was a flop. It just didn't work. It rained too much and it was done. Okay? This year, I got ahead of it. I brought some dirt in and some railroad ties and it got it all good. And I planted my beans and my seeds and everything that I planted. And I'm one that is kind of hard with patience sometimes. Like, I want to plant them, and the next day, let's pick the beans and can them. Let's go. Okay? But then I realized, Jim, you can't do that, obviously. You can't do that. So I was like that farmer waiting on the rain. And you guys that garden, you know that there's nothing like water from the heavens to water a garden. It just does it so much better. And you know what? Waited on it weeks and weeks and weeks. It started to grow. And the bigger it got, the bigger my eyes got. And I'm excited. Let's get a watermelon, Sean. I'm so excited to get a watermelon here in a couple weeks. And then we're canning beans. We're doing all this stuff. And you know what? What would have happened if I would have got impatient and just said, nah, rip it out. I don't want to wait on it. I wouldn't have got nothing, would I? Nothing. It's no different in our Christian walk. If we're not patient, guys, we could miss something absolutely amazing that God's going to do in our lives. I'm going to tell you, some of you know this, some of you don't, but I prayed for this church, this position for 2 years. My specific prayer for 2 years was, Lord, please put me in a church somewhere between Rogersville and Mountain Grove. For 2 years. I never expected to be in Mountain Grove. Never. We live in an Ozark, and Julie's brother said, hey, we'll sell you the house and do all this stuff. He remodeled it, and I told Julie, I said, nope, nah, we're not doing that. Not happening. So he calls and he said, I just finished the remodel. Go look at it. Jamin, why did you have to do that? Okay, Julie, so let's go. So we went. And I don't want to speak for her, but for me, it was, this is a no-go. Not going to happen. I don't want to do it. And I literally got to the house, and we saw what they had done. And we saw the view and everything about it. And even inside the house, I was like, it's nice, but nah, I'm not there yet. And I kid you not, I walk out the front door, go around to the back by my shop, and the Lord hit me. He said, Jim, this is where you guys need to be. He said, I'm going to do some cool things with this place. And right then, I had to make a decision. Stay in Ozark, or get my rear end gear to get here. We moved here before we even had jobs that were even close. And we just basically said, okay, Lord, here you go. I'm doing it. And that's hard for me to go. That's extremely hard. But I'm telling you what, God has blessed us through that. Just taking that step of faith. And that's where I want our church to be. I want our church to take that step. And we took that step last month. Let's take another step and another step and another step. And let's see what God can do in the town of Mountain Grove. Let's see what God can do in the schools of Mountain Grove. Let's see what He can do. Are we diligent in His Word? If we're diligent in His Word, He's going to do it. He's going to bless us. It's going to happen. We may never know when, we never know how, but it's going to happen. And then the last thing, we need to be strong in the Lord. We need to be strong in the Lord. I know that's simple, but we need to be strong, and this is why. You know, life can happen. Life can be ugly, it can be messy, it can be ruthless. We've all gone through it. But you know, a lot of us tend to go to God or start praying or start reading when bad things happen. I've been there, done that, preaching to myself. But you know what? The cool thing about it is, when we're here, we're diligent in the Word, when everything's going good and we're on the mountaintops, man, when we're in the right mind, God is going to allow us to reach people when we're on the mountaintops, and He's going to allow us to reach people when we're in the valleys. Are we willing to let Him do that? Willing to take Him totally in control of our lives, humble ourselves before Him, diligently be in His Word, and then honestly be strong in it? Can we hang on to those two, to be strong in Him? Ephesians 6, 12 and 13 says this, and you guys know, "For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces in the heaven. This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything to take your stand." Folks, He's preparing us. He's saying, if you don't do this, stuff's going to happen. Life is going to be hard. Life is hard as it is, but if you don't put on the armor of God, if we're not ready, man, things are going to happen, and it's not going to be good. And this is the part where we as Christians tend to lose the path that we're going down. We tend to say, I can't put on that armor. I can't do that. I don't have time to be in the Word every day. I don't have time to pray. We're scared of it sometimes. Sometimes we're scared to make that commitment. Sometimes we're scared to put on the armor. And other times we're scared of the battle. We're scared of what's going to happen if we do that. Or we're scared of what God's going to do in our life or what He's going to ask us to do. That's where we lose track sometimes. But look at David. I love David. He said, I got this. I'm going to go big. Imagine David. Slingshot and a few rocks out of the creek. Goliath? King, did you really hear what Goliath just said? He said he's defiling the God of Israel. He's saying God's no good. Do you guys remember David talking to the king and to all the army? Do you remember what God has brought us through to get us here? I got this. I'm telling you, David humbled himself. He humbled himself and said, all I got is a slingshot and a few rocks, but I'm going. God's going to protect me. He's got me. Imagine if we had that mindset all the time. I wish I could have that mindset all the time. And you know what happened? He took care of it. The Israelites took over. Everybody started running. They won the battle. But here's the cool thing about David. He won. That's the side that we hear all the time. But here's the cool thing, and this is going to sound kind of bad, but David messed up too. You guys know that? He had sin in his life. He did things he shouldn't have done, but God still used him. So there's no one here right now, there's no one on this earth that breathes the air has no excuse. No matter what we do, God is bigger than our problems. Are we going to let Him take care of our problems? That's the question, and that's where our mentality has got to go. And our praise band's going to come up, and we're going to finish here. And this is what I want us to think about. I want us to forget about everything that's going on. I want us to forget about garments of praise. I want us to forget about feed my sheep for just a minute. And I want each and every one of us to look right here. Look in our hearts. I want us to dig down deep, deeper than maybe some of us have ever dug down. And I'm going to ask you a few questions. Have you humbled yourself before the Lord? Are you doing what He's called you to do? Or are we just doing part of it? Some of us are going to be there. Some of us are going to say, I haven't humbled myself. I haven't done it. Some of us are going to say, I haven't been diligent with the Word. I haven't been diligent in being in the Word. I want to be that person that you challenged, Jim, just a minute ago, to go to somebody and say, be diligent in the Word and see what God does. And then some of us may fit in a little bit with being strong in the Lord. Some of us may be strong in the Lord, and some of us may not be. Some of us may be going through things right now that we need that strength. There is one of these three things that we all can pull from today. And when we put all three of these things together, when we put all three of these things together, if we humble ourselves before the Lord, if we're diligent in His Word, and we are truly strong in the Lord, there's nothing that we can't handle. The Goliaths in our life are nothing for God. So this morning, what Goliaths are in our life? What Goliaths are there that we need to get rid of? Each and every one of us can pull something this morning that we can pray about. So this is my challenge to you. If you got something going on, come up here and pray about it. Don't be scared of it. I know it makes some of you uncomfortable, and that's okay. God can do some cool things up here. And don't use the excuse, I don't get up and pray. Oh, come on. The youth group knows that. Me, it doesn't work. Stand up. Humble yourself and come up here. Put pride aside. If you have to grab somebody, grab somebody. Come pray at the altar. And if you're somebody that can get up and feels led to do so, just come up here and pray. Pray for the people that are still in the pew that may be a little bit scared to come up here. Make your prayer, how can I be diligent in your word this week? How can I make that go farther? So that's my challenge. I want to see some people up here. Let's make sure there's indentions up here on the floor of how much we've prayed. Praise band's going to sing a little bit. Then I'm going to close with some prayer. And I pray this morning that God has touched your heart somehow, some way. This is one I kind of struggled with a little bit, not going to lie. I think I preached to myself more this week than I have in all, you know, getting ready for any other message. And that's great. I love it. Because I have a passion for who Jesus Christ is in my life. I have a passion to share it with you guys. Guys, I have a passion. I have been here many a times at the altar, and God has done some amazing things. Allow Him to do that today, okay? Let's stand. Don't take any time. Come up here. Pray for whatever you need to pray about. Take care of whatever you need to take care of. Let's make it happen this morning.
We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him, and say that we love Him. Open our ears.
together again.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say,
Lord, for a wonderful morning.
I see shattered, you see whole. I see broken, but you see beautiful. And you're helping me to believe. You're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing too dirty in the blood of your sacrifice.